the volume.
This Sessions is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. They're America's number one sportsbook for a reason, y'all. It's so easy to use. It's safe and secure. That's one of the main things for me. I don't want any BS. I love that there's no BS with FanDuel. Plus, you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours. Plus, it's super fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. It's awesome. So if you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with the promo code Renee, that's R-E-N-E-E, so that they know that I sent you. Disclaimer, 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Wyoming, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Or text next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY for New York. Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. And 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming. Visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia. Hey guys, welcome to the best of the Sessions. What we have done is we've combined the best of Tuesday's episode and Thursday's episode, mashed them together to give you a beautiful little audio gift for your ear holes. We have some awesome, awesome guests on the show. Cannot thank people enough for taking the time to come hang out with me. Give me a little bit of their time. We give you a little bit of that. We all get to hang out and enjoy it, learn a little bit about each other. So it's really cool to mash these all together, and you guys can get those little abbreviated highlights of both of the interviews throughout the week. Also, of course, if you want to listen to the full lengths, you can do that. They all exist. Just make sure to check out all things from the Volume Podcast Network. Like, subscribe, turn on those notifications, all that good stuff. But let's get into it. Here's the best of the Sessions. What's going on with you? How are you? I'm so excited to like finally have you on here
to
hang out.
Thank you. I know. We've been talking about this. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. It's the oral session.
It's not the oral sessions. It's just the sessions. We had to ditch the oral.
Really?
We didn't have to. It was a choice. It was a choice.
Why couldn't you just keep oral?
Welcome to the oral. Welcome to oral, everybody. So for those that can't see, I just want you to know that I'm incredibly distracted because there's like a lot of thigh.
Oh my gosh.
That's out.
And it's spread out too. Renee, I'm not wearing
Miro
clothes
anymore. Miro is a thigh man. You've got these like these great gams. You take great pride in this body.
Well, not the legs specifically.
Yeah, you're
the
a leg guy.
The body needs work, but the legs are very important.
What goes into the leg workout?
You know what? I stopped squatting a few years ago. People don't know that.
Why?
I know, big secret, because my back was hurt.
Oh, okay.
You know, when you load
up. So you're
up
one of those smart people that actually listen to their body when they say, hey, don't do that anymore?
You know, when you're young, you don't care.
Right.
And when when the older people tell you, you still don't care.
Of course.
But now that you're up there, you're like, should have.
Yeah, time
but
to check
okay.
in.
It's okay. But if you guys are out there and you're listening, listen.
Listen to your body. Listen to the people that came before you that are telling you maybe don't do certain things.
Yeah, because everything works, man. It's all about how connected to your mind you are, to the muscle you are. You can do everything. You don't need squats. Dorian Yates, Mr. Olympia, how many times? You never squatted.
Who needs it?
You don't need it.
I've kind of given it up, but that's just because I'm not really doing much of anything these days.
You're a mother. You must do enough.
Oh, I mean, I'm doing that, but I mean, like, I'm not like in the gym, like putting in as much work. I was really hitting the gym for a while and I'm like, let's just take a nap instead.
No.
Sometimes.
But you still have to do something for exercising.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I get in my 10,000 steps a day. I get in my cardio. We keep it moving. Keep it moving. We keep it happening. Okay, so you are the like mind-body connection. Do you spend a lot of time? Like, do you like meditate?
No.
What do you do?
I pray.
You do? Do you?
I love God. I love Jesus, my Savior.
What do you mean? Like, what goes into this? You pray every day?
I have a spiritual direction as well. Every day, 1 hour a day.
What's that? I don't know what that means.
So I meet with my spiritual direction coach once a week.
Okay.
And we talk about like what's the upcoming. They have like every day you sit down for 1 hour. You read certain verses from the Bible, mm-hmm. and you sit and you meditate. Meaning meditate, you put yourself in there, what happened, and just listen to God, what tells you.
Interesting.
And then you write it down, and every day you do that. And then you meet and you talk about your experience and what God told you this week. And then you move on to the next.
So what is God telling you right like this week? What are we on?
What are we on?
What are we on right now? Teach me your ways.
What are we on? Well, this week we're talking about actually the path of Jesus, the way he started.
Okay.
So this week we're talking about when he first left on his mission. So he just got baptized by John the Baptist.
I'm getting an education right now, by the way. I was not raised with any religion. So, and like, not to be like ignorant to it, I don't know. So I'm like, I'm very interested.
Yeah. So he got baptized and the sky is open and God revealed that this is his beloved son. And so he went.
The more you know, guys.
It's very interesting. You know, even if you don't believe in God, if you want to believe whatever you want to believe.
Sure.
But even if you read the Bible just to see the morals of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, no,
you know,
I agree.
Just to see, you know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal,
sure.
love your neighbor, respect your parents.
Sure.
Those are all great morals that yeah. I think everybody, whether you like God, whatever you want to call it, it's mm-hmm. all great morals.
It all applies.
Absolutely.
Depending on like how, whatever
your
viewpoint
is. It's going to make you a better
is.
Person.
Agreed. 100%. So you were raised religious?
No.
Really?
No. So there was religion. My grandma was Catholic. But Bulgaria is not, I mean, they're kind of religious, but on the holidays.
Oh, okay. That's like me.
Because I feel like the old school, like communism, didn't promote too much.
You Got know. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bulgaria was communist for 50 years or so. So, yeah. you know, religions was pushed down. But I always knew it. I had it inside. I always felt it.
How did you start connecting with that side?
So my grandma taught me how to pray.
Okay.
So before I left to America, she taught me how to pray. And every night I would pray just our Father in heaven. And that was it from the beginning. And, you know, the same thing, I would go. And of course, I would pray to God just kind of sometimes when you have some. But you just say the words to say. When I was a kid, you didn't have actually those feelings.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I had some actually live experiences with God that it was like, whoa, this thing
now
is
we
real.
Gotta talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a problem getting my driver's license and just one day driving in California. You know, in California without driver's license, immigrants.
Oh yeah. Done. Oh yeah.
And I went to DMV a couple of times. They said no because of my paperwork wasn't right. And one day I'm just driving and God says right here, it says, go to DMV. And I was like, I keep driving. Go to DMV. And DMV was right on the right side. I made a right turn. I made the exact same steps, showed my same paperwork.
And they proved it. Wow.
I'm telling you, my life has been, I mean, without God, it's been nothing. Like they got me, I got signed by WWE because God intervened there as well.
How?
Well, I had a torn ACL and they said to me, you know, you have to do these medical whatever. And with torn ACL, they'll send you right back.
Right.
So I'm going, I'm praying 100%, praying the whole time. And there comes the doctor with a student doctor. So instead of him paying attention kind of to my stuff, he's talking to him.
Yes.
And kind of he's like, yeah, this. All right, you're good.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's real.
That's really crazy.
It's absolutely real. That's why, you know, people say, oh, I'm a believer, but I'm a mm-hmm. knower. Because
yeah, you felt it.
Yeah, there's nothing else. There's nothing else like it.
This like totally changed the course of what this interview was going to be. I'm
Sorry.
Like, tell me about this. No, but I find that it's really fascinating to me. I think that's really interesting. That's cool. What other hurdles did you have moving to America? Like having things like that, not being able to get your driver's license, finding work, leaving your family, all that stuff.
Well, it started with a hurdle because I came as an exchange student. I was supposed to work for 3 months and then go back. I had a contract. But after the first month, I got kicked out. I got fired.
What happened?
They told me I'm not good at my job.
What was your job?
I was a painter of houses.
I've never what were painted. You doing? Painting on the ceiling and stuff? What
yeah,
happened?
In oh, Richmond, no. Virginia, outside. I had to paint outside houses. I've never done this in my life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I was good at my job, but to fire me and to kick me on the street, kick me out of the house because they provided the housing, which we paid for. I'm in America for 1 month and I got kicked out with $150 on the street in America.
What?
I'm a month in.
What did you do?
Well, there was a couple of guys that I knew from work and they were like, okay, come live with us.
How old were you?
I was 20 years old.
Oh my God. So you are a baby away from your family, kicked out in the streets.
And took a huge debt to come to America.
How much?
About $5,000.
I had that too at one point. And it, when you're that young, that shit kills you.
And this is
oh
Bulgaria.
My God.
You know, Bulgaria, $5,000 is.
Yeah.
Especially 2005.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my. I remember when I finally paid mine off was just like a, oh, like what a moment to get rid of that debt, paying for visas and all that.
But and that's where these guys with medical, with student debts and medical debts and all that, it's just always
so scary.
Hanging over your
I know,
head.
It really is. Okay, so you're here, you're kicked out on the streets, you've got the debt. Where do you go from there?
So they took me in. We lived in a two-bedroom apartment, about seven of us.
Would you sleep on the floor, on the couch,
well,
in the tub?
No, on the floor. Oh, it's okay. God. It's America.
Sure,
you,
sure.
You expect these things.
Right.
You know, you watch so many movies. You're like, shit happens. You know, you just, you got to persevere. I think that's what life teaches you. And I found a job at Wendy's. I lasted about 2 weeks.
Why'd you get fired from there?
No, I left on my account.
Okay.
I just couldn't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. God bless you guys.
No, it's a tough gig. My first gig was at Dairy Queen and I lasted maybe like 2 months and I was like,
not easy. Everybody, and you know, everybody gets so much shit on, you know,
yes.
that works there.
And, oh my God.
But these guys, man, it's a
thankless gig.
Yes.
Who
yes.
else is going to give you your spicy nuggets? You know,
yeah.
Lighten up. Jeez.
Lighten up. Exactly. So I did that. Then I found another job that I get to clean stores like at night, like Dollar General's.
Okay.
They'll close at night.
Uh-huh.
And we'll go and put this chemical to take all the wax from the floor.
Okay.
And then we'll put a new wax.
Okay.
So I was on the road before WWE and all that with this guy because every night we'll hit different towns, different counties, different states and all that.
Oh my God.
My whole life prepared me to get on the road eventually.
That's nuts. That probably was a good gig though because you could just zone out. You didn't really have to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
You just put on like
Russian.
Headphones.
I didn't even speak much Russian at the time. So we were just like, travel, we'll do our thing at night, we'll sleep, I would work out, do whatever I have to.
Yeah.
Travel for a couple of weeks, go back, I'll have some money. Now I can wait for the next gig.
What was the main goal at that point?
Survive.
To have like the goals to like come over here, come to America and to just survive. Was it always kind of burning in the back of your mind of wanting to get into professional wrestling and doing like the bodybuilding and all that stuff?
Yeah. I was a fan of professional wrestling since I was a kid. I was like 6, 7 years old. So Hogan, I was like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Bulgaria has no wrestling. I tried. There was no wrestling. I didn't even know professional wrestling existed besides in America.
Yeah.
I never knew there was indie wrestling or Germany or England, none of that.
Yeah.
I knew that WCW was on the German television and eventually WWF came on Sky Sports and all that.
Yeah.
So I was watching that. That was cool. And, you know, we watched it. I was a fan, but I never knew that one day I could do that.
Of
I mean,
course.
Who thinks that?
Of course.
And at that time I was playing basketball. I was like, man, I want to go NBA. And I was 6 feet tall. For me, America was a dream. Since I was a kid, I was second grade, third grade. I started learning English just because I had the desire.
You were ready to go.
Like the video games that I played, the movies that we watched, everything was about America and English and all that. So I was like, man, like this is what I want to do.
What about for your family? Were they big? Like, did they sort of look at America the same way that you did?
No.
No.
You know, my mom and dad, they grew up in the communist era. And, you know, it's even to this day, like a lot of these old school, I would say old school Bulgarians, they kind of like, man, we missed the communist times. Everything was so much simple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
But when you grew up, but then because after this communist time, you know, democracy, which corrupt democracy, which makes you hate that even more.
Oh,
and then you're
God.
Missing the old times, which nobody had anything. I knew it. I just got to get away. I just wanted to come here. I wanted to make something. I wanted to help my family. That's what I wanted to do. But I 100% knew that I couldn't do that in Bulgaria.
How much do you think about that still? Like, do you ever, I'm sure you do. I mean, if you're praying every day and like really kind of reflecting on life, but looking at the fact that you are here, this massive success story, you make great money, you live a great life, to not come from that and to have like earned every bit of that. Like, what does that, like, what do you think of that?
I never think about these things.
Really?
Never.
Oh my gosh.
I'm always keeping my head down. I never thought, I don't think I'm successful. I don't think I'm all looking, you know, I don't think I'm rich. I don't think I'm all, I'm just a boy who is very blessed to, and I'm very happy living my life. And I love that I'm able to help my family.
Yeah. I mean, you work so hard for all this stuff though, too.
Not
I mean,
anymore. I'm kidding.
Now you get to like kind of coast and kind of sit on the hard work that that you've been putting in. But I always find
but now
that
I
really
love my job. That's what I wanted to say.
Yes.
You know, when you're on the road 300 days, you still love your job, but it's completely different. Now, knowing that I get to go and perform once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And I can be at home and I can rest my body. Mm-hmm. I can work out. I can eat right.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I think it's much healthier for me.
Yeah.
Mentally, spiritually, physically, and all that.
What was the downtime like for you between leaving WWE to debuting with AEW? What was like that in between bit like?
So much twitching.
Always with the twitch.
So much twitching because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. It's,
you know, I had the 3 months, you know, you can't mm-hmm. work anywhere. And, you know, Woods was like, man, you love video games. So yeah. I know who I was. He's like, and you were good with people. You should do that. And then I was watching Shaq, you know, the DJ show that he had.
Another
DJ show, but the reality show that he has on
TNT.
Oh,
yes.
And he's always talking about, he always wanted to be a DJ.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't want to be just a DJ. He wanted to be actually because he wanted to do that. He loved doing that. So I was like, you know what? If he can do that, if he want to follow his childhood dream or he likes doing that, I'm going to do that as well. So I started playing video games on Twitch. And it was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. And I got so many opportunities from Twitch.
Everyone loves it. Everyone that does it loves it.
It's fun. And, you know, communicating with your audience and you get to, because this is what I love to do. I love hanging out and play video games at home anyways when I'm time off. But, you know, FCF, my football team came from that.
So first of all, I didn't know this until I was getting ready for this interview. I'm like, wait, what? Hold on, let me pull this up so that I get the actual facts right.
Please
so you have the fan-controlled football league that you own with Marshawn Lynch, Todd Gurley, and Renee Montgomery. How did this happen? How did you get involved with this?
I don't know. I was just twitching, you know, doing whatever I had to. It was my peak of I was twitching all the time. And they showed interest. They contacted my my management company and they said that they like my online persona, whatever you want to call it. Uh-huh. They like my interaction with people. They think I'm really entertaining. And if they, well, so. Well, I have to say for the people, I got to put myself over.
Put yourself over. He's entertaining. I said it off the get. I said he's very funny. We all love Miro.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And they offered if I wanna be involved in it.
Yeah.
So we looked into it and it sounded like no brainer. It's a great concept. It's, you know, football, we all love football. But now as a fan, to be able to control, you know, to pick the play on the offense and a defense, and it happens right in front of you, real life in a real game.
Yeah.
It just brings kind of, you know, the Madden, the video game play with real life football. And I think it's a great concept.
Crazy. How much do you interact with the other owners?
Only when I yell at them.
Oh.
Oh, you mean it, the other owners?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the opposite
team.
Oh,
no.
No, we have great communication.
Yeah.
We have a group text. We have calls because we have to do weekly drafts.
Okay.
We got to think about who we're taking, who we're kicking out and all that.
Yeah, I feel like you really have your hand in like a lot of different pots because I don't know that people understand that you're also a real estate mogul. You're just buying up properties. You're renting them out. Like, you bust your ass. This is me putting over all of your things. I've got to talk about his accolades, guys. That's what we're doing. That's what the show is.
Thank you. It was about 2016, I think. And I figured out that, hey, these money that I'm making for wrestling are not going to be enough for the rest of my life.
Yes.
I got to figure something else.
When did you start to like do the math on that? When you were like,
I think it was about 15, 16 when I started calculating. I'm like, man, I know how people's careers are and how much money I'm making and how much life is left.
Yeah. I know, right? Honestly.
And I was so glad for their rude awakening because I found Rich Dad, Poor Dad. The book, have you heard of it?
No.
Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay.
Fantastic book.
Okay.
He was an army veteran in Vietnam and then he came back and he started with buying one condo in Hawaii and then now he's a billionaire, you know, just from real estate. So I started listening to his philosophy, you know, get out of the rat race and, you know, how to kind of, you know, assets and, you know, all these kind of stuff. You get to get broken down. And he's saying, you know, in America, nobody's teaching you financial education.
No, not at all.
They're teaching you go to school, get a job, pay your taxes and blah, blah, blah. He's like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is how they want you to slave, you know.
Hustling. You're exhausted. You're tired. You're beat down.
People were trying to buy houses right away. But he's like, this is not an asset. It's what is it? The other word?
You're smarter than me when it comes to this. I couldn't
asset,
tell you. An asset.
What is the opposite of asset?
Guys, anybody? What is the...
Liability.
I was going to say that. And I was like, there's no way that's what it is.
It's a liability because it's not because you're paying every month. It doesn't bring you anything. But people think, house is asset, but it's not.
Yeah.
And he explains all these things. It's a free book. I highly recommend anybody go get it. There's the audio, there's a written version. Read it, and just there's a game that you can make it a lot easier for you to understand. It's called The Rat Race.
Who put you onto this book?
I just found it.
Wow.
So that's how, and I bought my first property. The same thing. I was listening. I bought my first property cash for $85,000. I put $10,000 in it to renovate it. Yes.
Yeah.
That was 2000.
We're in Nashville, Tennessee. Everybody, by the way.
Nashville, Tennessee. And now it's worth a lot more.
How many properties do you own?
22.
You guys, holy shit.
Yeah.
How long do you wait between each one to be like, all right, going to snatch up another one?
I was buying every pay-per-view paycheck at one point.
Good for you. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Because look, I like stuff. Don't get me wrong. Sure. I have my man cave. I have my video games. I have my Maseratis, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's nothing at the end of the day. I need to buy something for the future. Yes. It's going to bring me money.
Yes.
Because Robert Kiyosaki
says, make your money work for you.
Instead of putting $10,000 or whatever car payment, or if it's costing you this, put in an investment that's going to return those money, yes, then buy the thing.
Yes, 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 yes.
So eventually when you pay this thing off, this thing is still going to keep bringing you money.
I find it like for you to just have this like business mind to like make sure that you are doing life right is like really impressive. Do you think that comes from being on your own for so long and kind of having your back against the wall of like, I have to be successful?
I can't put it on me. I got to put it on God. He just smartened me up. A lot of things just come to my mind. Like that's what, like moving to LA, it just comes. Like a lot of these things just boom.
What happened out in LA?
I got mad at work, you know, the usual stuff.
And not Wendy's, like, a different one? Not Wendy's.
No, the WWE work.
Oh, WWE.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it.
I moved in California the second time, not the first time.
Oh, I meant the first time when you were out there as a taxi driver,
moved there,
right?
I just moved there to make it because it's Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Everybody makes it in LA.
And you came from Virginia. Why did you were in Virginia because of school?
No, because of my job.
Right. Got it.
And then we drove cross country in a 1988 red Oldsmobile.
Hell yes. Look at these stories you have. Are you going to write a book?
I don't know.
You're thinking about it.
I don't remember a lot of the things.
You're rattling off to me pretty good right now.
Once I get to WWE, so where the matches start,
yeah,
the thing for CJ. Okay. CJ knows, she knows, boom, boom, this happened, this happened, this happened.
Yeah, she actually does. I was literally just interviewing her right before this, and I was like, wow, she really has stuff like lined up. My brain doesn't work like that. John's like that. John can rattle off dates and buildings, and I'm like, pfft. I don't remember what happened yesterday. Like, I don't have a clue.
I thought I never worked in the forum in LA before. And Tony Khan had to remind me and CJ that I worked Brock Lesnar there. I'm like, oh, well, that's cool.
These things happen. Oh,
it's
my
bad.
God.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Guys,
yeah, these things happen.
You got to read your books so you can have a better memory.
Your time winding down with WWE, what was that like last chunk like for you?
The last story with Bob and Bobby. I love Bobby. He's a great guy.
He is the best.
He's such a good guy.
He's so sweet.
I think the last year was just like a bunch of shit, I think. I think I wanted to leave, and I think I went home, and I think stayed there for a few months, and they finally called me, I think, for that story to do with great promises. And I say, cool. It sounds fantastic. This is what you want to do. CJ was okay with it and everything was great. And I said, great, let's do it. And then eventually that's not what happened. I didn't even make it to WrestleMania.
Oh,
but
man.
It's okay. I'm not mad.
Yeah,
shit happens.
Sure,
I was really
sure.
happy. You know, I was really happy when I got fired. I was delighted.
Elated? Were you elated?
I was elated. Thank you for teaching me that word. Elated. Thank you. Renee always taught me that word. I'm always going to give her credit for that. It's documented.
It is documented. It's so funny. I was thinking about that when we were like doing this interview, thinking of that moment of you're like, I'm elated. What does elated mean? And I was like, oh, fuck, what does elated mean? And I'm like trying to like convey it to you on live television. That was great.
It came through.
It did come through. It came through for us.
It was too entertaining.
So you felt good.
I kind of lashed out for about 5 seconds just because the timing was bad with COVID and everything.
Right.
And my wife still being there, and you know, just I was concerned, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody knew it was the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
But I was happy. I knew I was going to be fine. Yeah. Because I just knew I'm good.
Did you know right off the bat that like AEW was probably where you wanted to land?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted AEW and then New Japan for sure.
Yeah. So there was never any kind of a lull of you being like, do I still want to do this anymore? You were still like gung-ho, like I'm sticking.
Yeah. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
I love, absolutely love. As much as, you know, I want to do movies and I try to do that as well.
Yeah.
I just professional wrestling is so much fun. There's nothing like it. And you can hear all these people like John Cena, you know, and all these guys that leave, and they'll tell you it's just nothing like it.
Yeah, yeah.
The live audience, the feed, the love, the hate. You can't get that from the camera.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It really is one of those things I find, like, the longer I'm, like, away from it, I'm like, I kind of miss that, like, chaotic nonsense. Like, you love it. And when you love it, you love it.
I love the crowd. I love the experience being among and fighting and creating, especially.
Yeah.
But the backstage bullshit politics is just...
No, thank you. No, I know. Wouldn't it be so nice if you just, like, not have that involved, but
is there politics in older life, though?
I think in everything. I think in absolutely everything. There's bullshit everywhere. There was something I was just going to ask you about the politics, wrestling. It was a good one, too, and it just left my brain. Well, let's talk the acting side of things. What's going on with that? It seems like you know, you kind of stay busy. You were off TV for a little while out doing something, yeah?
I was off TV because I couldn't get a spot in.
Couldn't get booked, brother.
So the whole thing happened in between. I thought it was coming back. It didn't happen. And eventually I got an audition. You know, I got auditions every now and again. And they liked me and they wanted to book me for this East New York show for CBS pilot. And I was like, heck yeah. I was so, because it was my first one. I've never done this before. And it's not like, hey man, can you help my cousin get into, you know, I had an audition, and they called me and I was like, wow, really me?
Yes.
I was really excited and I got a great experience. Got to live in Brooklyn for 2 weeks. Got to experience New York, which was great for me because I used to hate New York.
Oh my God, but those bodegas, those breakfast sandwiches are not to be messed with.
Just living there, walking around everywhere, just living like a New Yorker, it was
great. There's nothing like that energy.
I can't do that forever, but it was great for 2 weeks.
Back to Tennessee.
Yeah, and I just had another audition this morning. It was really cool for this Western movie that I really, really dig. I still do my acting school. I go there every week with Leslie Kahn. But I think everybody should do that. Everybody should have a second and a third gig. Just because you're a professional wrestler, you know, from 1 or 2 days a week, you can't do anything.
Gotta find other things to do and just other ways to like keep your brain engaged and keep yourself entertained, all those things. I know what I was gonna ask you. When you debuted in AEW, really quite the fashion choices. You were coming out loud and proud in like these bougie outfits.
I did.
What was going into that? Because we never got to see that of you, of course, in WWE. And now we get this new man.
Tony Khan wanted, you know, they called me with a spot to be the best man. You know, I wanted to just be a new persona. If this is what you want me to be, I can't come and be Rusev and be like,
sure, yeah,
I'm going to play video games and I'm going to fucking...
Yeah.
Can't do that. So I was like, all right, well, let's... I think CJ... The hair was just incidental. CJ was dyeing her hair or something. And she was like, you want to do it? I'm like, all right, why not? And then the clothes flew the day in because I don't know what happened with the clothes. And I wanted to look cool because I wanted to look just look different. And I think I did. But it's a write-off. It's for TV.
100%.
But also, you got to treat yourself sometimes.
Football fans, check out the 3 and Out podcast with John Middlecoff, only on the Volume Podcast Network. John brings his unique perspective as an ex-NFL scout to the Volume to break down all the news around the NFL and college football. Whether you're looking for game predictions, coaching searches, the ins and outs of the NFL front office, even an occasional golf tip, John has you covered. Download 3 and Out with John Middlecoff, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
How nice to just say Soraya. So I know you've obviously been saying that on Twitch and everything, but now it's like the official. It's out there. That's it.
Dude, do you know what's really weird? Is that Lizzie and I were just in the Mall the other day because I was trying to find a new Dyson hair dryer because my boyfriend thinks he needs it for tomorrow. Have a good blowout, I guess.
Wait, are we talking the air wrap here?
The blowout one where it's like you put the thing.
I think that's not the like air wrap.
Not the actual wrap where it curls it, but like the where it like, you know, gives it
a little volume.
Yeah.
I just started using one of those and let me tell you, I think Ronnie's right, he does need it on tour because I use one every
day. Don't encourage him. I was like, I need my blow dryer. Yeah. He's like, no, you don't. My hair's more important. But I was like, all right. Even though I bought him one for Christmas. I literally bought him one for Christmas and he was just like, I'm never gonna need this. Like I'm
impressed
a dude.
He blow dries his hair. Good for him.
Oh, he loves it. He likes to take care of himself. I love
get
it.
That flow out there.
We were at the Mall, and then someone was like, Soraya? And I'm like, and I'm so used to people calling me Paige that I thought, do I know this person personally? So I'm just like, I'm sorry, do I know you from somewhere?
Yeah.
And he was just like, no, can I have a pitch? And I was like, oh, you're a fan. Yes. Okay, that makes sense. So but I like try to play off because I felt really stupid that I was like, do I know you? Like, you know, so I was just like, you just have like a really familiar face. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just your face is very familiar. Oh, and I'm like, nice to meet you though. I was just like, I was very like startled. I was just like, Soraya. I'm like,
that happened. So yesterday I was at the signing and I wrapped up doing the interview with Brian. I walk out and there's this like flaming redhead dude at the bar getting a beer. He turns and goes, Renee. I thought it was Heath. It looked Heath with his with like a mustache.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, hi. And I was like, are you guys having fun this weekend? Like when I realized it wasn't having him a full-on conversation. And that it was a fan that I was like, oh, I thought you were a friend of mine. I did not tell him that, but yeah, like Heath, gave me pause.
I was just like, Heath, what's up, buddy?
I was like seconds away from like embracing this man.
Yeah.
Anyways. He was like a chubby mustachioed Heath.
Oh, it was you're gonna say, yeah, he was like this chubby redhead. So I was just like, must be Heath.
No.
He's just like watching this back like one tear rolling down his face. He's just like, what?
Okay, so you're with your name, how hard is it? Or like what is it like going through like being Paige for so long, the branding of that, the logo of that, all of those things to like really getting people on the like it's Soraya.
I've never been called Soraya in my wrestling career because even before that, my dad named me Brittany Knight. Don't even get me started with that name, dude. It's so awful. But that was my name. And then it obviously got switched to Paige. Like, I picked that name, first of all. Mm-hmm. So, WWE, you should let me keep it since I'm the one who came up with this bad boy.
But right? Anyway. Again, the things that you get in the divorce.
I know, exactly. I'm like, fine. It should have been like a Tina Turner thing. I'm like, I get to keep the name, keep everything else. Yes. You know what I mean? But, it's like, it's really strange. So I started getting people used to call me Soraya on Twitch anyway, because I wanted to branch out more as Soraya than just be known as Paige the Wrestler. So I wanted to start building my brand and stuff like that anyway. So Twitch was already used to call me Raya, Ray, whatever. But just, it's so weird just having people on the street call me. It's like fine on the internet. And then when you see someone in person, you're just like, ugh, like it gives me the creeps.
Yeah, my
like,
government name.
How
Jesus.
Dare you? That is my birth name.
What's happening over here?
Yeah, my mom, you know, successfully found that name through an acid trip. So
I know you've told the story, but you can elaborate on it here.
I love telling the story. I'll tell it all the time. So everyone's always just like, Soraya, like that's so exotic. Like, where did you get that from? And I'm just like, oh man, really good story. So my mom was tripping on acid at a Slayer concert and she misheard Slayer for Soraya, and that's how I got my name. But the lead singer's last name is also Araya. So I'm just like, that's probably how you got confused.
Yeah. I mean, listen, a lot of things could probably happen in an acid trip and it all kind of blends into one. And
yeah, that's now the one you're here. Good thing though. There you go. Look at me.
And now twinkle she's here. How are you feeling right now? To be like, God, what, a decade? WWE.
Yeah, dude.
So you were such a baby being signed there. You were 18, 19?
Yeah, I'm about to be freaking 30, dude.
Yeah, you
are. In like a couple of weeks.
I know.
Oh, dude, it's really weird.
But yeah, to be with WWE from being a child, growing up in that business, that's all you've really known for the last however long. And now you're not doing that. How are we feeling?
So honestly, like they told me. Obviously, Johnny had called me and was just like, it was really chill. Like, we left on, like, we parted on good terms, which is really good. Because, you know, a lot of people get bitter or whatever, but I'm just like, I'm really appreciative of the journey I had, dude, because I wouldn't be where I am without them. So I'm really thankful. But I was a little nervous, too, because I feel like once you leave WWE, you don't have, like, that check every week. So you're like, well, now I have to work. Like, I like sitting at home just getting a paycheck. Thank you very much.
I saw a meme that was, like, somebody being like, how do I make money? And then tears. I have to work.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
that's literally it.
All
Like, now I have to, like, socialize. And I've had, like, years now of, like, not doing signings because WWE didn't use me. So then, like, having my first signing this weekend for StarCast, I had, like, so much anxiety. I had to bring my emotional support human, Lizzie, with me. I was like, I need someone.
You can take
like
Benny with you if you want. He's
dude,
all right.
Please. I wish I could bring like Lobster.
Yeah.
That would be a dream, but he's a pit bull and people are just so mad about pit bulls for some reason.
Haters.
But yeah, like it's like I had a lot of anxiety. I'm just like bloody hell. And then I land, there's fans in the freaking airport as soon as we land. Mm-hmm. And they're all like really sweet, but I'm not used to seeing fans anymore.
It's a so trip when like, you're not used to that. You're like, whoa, I wasn't ready for that coming off the plane.
Yeah, dude. You get so used to it with WWE, just constantly seeing them all the time, and then you have COVID hit and then not being used and then all of a sudden you're like, bam, there's just people everywhere. You get to the hotel, there's fans there and like wrestlers too. And you're like, God, I like have to speak to all these people.
I was at TV hotel the other day and same thing. I was like, oh yeah, God, I forgot what this is like. Yeah. I feel like it used to be a lot crazier.
Yeah, I have to go to TV hotel later to do this other interview thing.
Get ready.
Hopefully they've all, like, everyone's like dispersed.
Oh, actually, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because SummerSlam was yesterday. It might not be too bad. Yeah. And it's a Sunday. Everyone go home.
Yeah, go take a hike.
Go home. Okay, so now there's like this freedom. What are you going to do with it?
Man.
Like, I know it's like a loaded question of like, yeah, like there is, I mean, obviously there's a ton of opportunities. I've said it a million different times, a million different ways that you're so talented. You're a very special person. I know it's like, is it awkward saying that to someone's face?
Dude, I'm so awkward with compliments anyway. I'm just like, oh my God, thank you.
And shut then up, like, I am not. Dying.
I'm like, oh my God, you better stop it right now.
But it's like finding what that thing is. And it's such a, it's so weird, I think, coming from like the wrestling world, being known as being a wrestler. You have a movie made about you.
Yeah,
it's like, there's all of these things. It's like, now, what do we do with this to like find the next thing?
We're like, right now, we're putting a book together, so I'm really excited about that. I haven't told anyone about the book yet, but
Did I plant the seed of the book?
Maybe. You could have.
I feel like you have so many stories to tell.
Dude, I'm like a cat. I have 9 lives. Because, like, I mean, a lot of people haven't been through what I've been through, dude.
Yeah,
it's pretty
I know.
Freaking crazy. And, like, I try, like, people who don't know me, if I tell them, like, even, like, parts
a
of,
snippet.
Like, yeah, they're just like, are you okay? Like, I'm like, I don't think so, bro.
We're like, holding on.
Yeah, I'm like, by a thread, dude. But yeah, I'm like, now I'm like, I'm glad I went through all that early because imagine having like a midlife crisis. Oh my, I guess that's around the corner soon anyway. Let's see how that
maybe
goes.
You dodge it because you did. I mean, you went through so much stuff so early.
Yeah.
I mean, even when you think about being as young as you were, moving to a brand new country, away from your family, figuring your shit out. Like, that alone rocks people's worlds.
Yeah.
What was that even like? Like, getting your own apartment for the first time. And you're really close with your family, too. So it's not like you're like, deuces. Like, you guys are all really tight.
Well, actually, when I did live there, I was already fiercely independent anyway. So, like, my mom and dad had a pub, and I lived above the pub by myself. So I just like I loved being by myself, and I would always travel by myself.
Yeah,
but it's different traveling and then getting to come back home rather than moving to a
have your mom's meals.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, yeah. It is so bizarre. So when I first came over here, I was so scared, but I was also really young, and I didn't know anything about like renters insurance. Mm. I didn't know how to get my social security. I didn't even know
my
how to
God.
Open up a bank account, because when WWE signed you back then, it was like, okay, we signed you, you know, we got the visa, now
go do all America. The other things.
Yeah, and now you have to figure everything
oh,
out.
Oh, yeah. I like, cried outside of so many government buildings.
Oh, God. It's so intimidating, right? And I'm just like, what do I do? And luckily, this woman called Lexi Five, she is the promoter for Shine, and she works in Shimmer and stuff like that. Luckily, I knew her from doing the indies and stuff. So she was like, you can come to my house for like 2 weeks. And I was just like, oh my God, thank you so much. And she took me around. She went and got everything for me. She was like, this is what you need. This is what you need. And I'm just like, thank God she's here. Because if I was by myself, I would have a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Because you're just so young.
It's so overwhelming.
You don't learn these things at school. Especially come from England, a different country. This difference is so different.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then I'm just like, wait, you have to use social security? Okay, like I can't get paid though until I get my social security.
Yeah.
So I had weeks of like not getting a check, and then they were taking money out of my checks when I finally got it to replace the money for the visa too.
Oh my Lord.
So I'm just like, oh. And then, and also I had a friend from England, bless his heart, like his name was he still alive? His name is Steve. And he inherited a bunch of money, right? So, like, I remember him being like, if you need money to go to America, let me know. And he gave me, like, $1,000, I guess it would be dollars.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And my parents didn't have much, so I managed to save up, like, £200, so it would be, like, $300, something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, I had, like, a decent amount to go get some cheap furniture.
Sure.
And, like, get, like, go to Walmart and get, like, you know, some ramen noodles and shit like
that.
Yeah. And I managed to get through a couple of weeks, and then, obviously, you start getting the paycheck. But still, it's really scary. I'm just like, I don't even have a car. I don't have a license. I tried to get my license twice before I got it.
And okay,
I took Summer's car, dude. I said, Summer, can I take your car to do this driving test? And she was like, of course. You know. So I was like, great. And then I took it and I did the whole freaking thing, like passed the actual test. And then he was like, all right, can you please pull into the parking space? We'll go get your license. And I'm like, yes. And so I pulled in and I pressed the accelerator instead of the brake button.
No.
And like a person had to like jump out of the way. And I'm just like, first of all, I feel like he's being dramatic, but like I end up hitting like I end up hitting like this little pole too. So like the front of the car was like dented, and I was like, oh my God. And then I like look over the guy. He's like, well, I can't like give you a license after you nearly just murdered somebody and crashed the car. So I was just like, yeah, fair enough. So I get back, and then there's Bill DeMar, and he's just like, did you pass? And I'm just like, no. And he gives me a fucking eye roll.
What was your relationship like with Bill?
Honestly, I wasn't a big fan of Bill. I was a huge fan of Dr. Tom. Like when I first got there, it was Dr. Tom, Norman Smiley. Love Norman Smiley.
Norman.
I actually have a story of him too, because when I first got there, I was like, me and Ivelisse were like the only ones from like the indies that had like previous wrestling experience, you know, and it was a very small group. Like FCW was really tiny, you guys. Like it was really tiny, dusty old warehouse. Like it was just like, this is WWE. Like this is like so bizarre.
We've arrived.
I was just like, really? Like this is so crazy compared to NXT now. Like, yeah. You know, when Hunter took over and made it just a big special thing. But yeah, there was only a small group of us, like five girls. But like when I got there, like I felt like everyone kind of was like a little bit standoffish with me, which is absolutely fine. Like I'm new, but I was young, so I just took it personally, of course. But yeah, I was just like, I was really intimidated. And then everyone was going, I was there for a couple of months, then Mania sat come around, Mania in Miami, and everyone got to go except for me at that time. And I was like, oh, well, I've only been here for a couple of months, I understand. But then Norman called me. And because like a couple of days before I did like this wrestling match, and I guess they were like impressed by me. And I've been there for a couple months at this point already, so they got to know me a little bit more.
Yeah.
And Norman, bless his heart, he calls me and he was just like, I was at my apartment and he was just like, I just want to let you know that when you first came here, I thought you were going to think that your shit doesn't stink because of like being on the indies. He was just like, but I just want to say that you're a really good person. And he was just like, I misjudged you. And I was like, you misjudged, because Norman's so sweet. Yeah. You don't know that he's misjudged you in any way. You just think he's just an angel, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
Norman being like, who is this chick?
Yeah, but Wait, he was, like, was wrong. Yeah, but he was like so nice. So I never saw it from him.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I'm like, I guess you can hide it very well. Or you just don't know how to be mean. Like, I don't know. But he was just like, I just want to let you know that you're going to go to WrestleMania. And I was just like, oh, that's great. So this was like a huge moment. And it was just like really cool. So I love Norman. And then there's, yeah, Dr. Tom, Jerry Mercury, Steve Kern. And Ricky Steamboat was there sometime.
Oh, yeah. Yep. He was there when I first started going down there.
Yeah. And then Dusty, of course. What an angel he was, huh?
Total angel.
Yeah. He was great. So when, like, you know, it kind of, like, got took over by Bill, it was just a whole shift in energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was more like a army boot camp or something like that. But it was more, like, less learning about wrestling and more just wanting to blow us up in the ring.
Yeah.
And then when Sarah came in, like, it was kind of like we weren't, at that time, we weren't split up into groups of, like, experience.
Mm.
So I just had to keep taking these freaking arm drags over and over again and then taking a bump and then doing these rolls. And I'm
front
just
rolls,
like,
baby.
I'm just like, oh, my God, like, this is so fucking brutal. I just want to learn new moves, you know what I mean? I want to learn to wrestle. I don't want to keep doing the same shit over and over again. I'm like, you know, I can help these girls out, whatever, but, like, I want to learn too. But it was just like the same thing over and over again. Nothing new.
Was there ever times that they were trying to change your style? Because your style was like pretty, and not like drastically different from everyone else's, but you had that like just like.
I had to turn it down a little bit and make it a little bit more girly. Like with Dr. Tom again, he like let us do whatever. And we were having like Money in the Bank matches. And like he was letting us do German suplexes. And he was just like, whatever you do, as long as you do it safely, like it's all good. And like he trusted us with it. And we had so much fun. But then when Bill came along, it was just like, you know, can't do that stuff. I have to do this. And it was just like, it was annoying. And he wanted me to start wearing more color.
No.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember being so disappointed one day because we all got.
I guess that's what we can see in the in your movie, right? Was, like when it is that like.
But it was the trainer that was telling me to wear more color. Mm-hmm. So like he was constantly saying how Summer Rae was like the perfect diva and stuff like that, you know. And he was like,
fucking
everyone should
Summer
be more
Rae.
Like Summer Rae. And I was just like. I was like, okay, but like the reason why I got signed is because of the way I look, like not because I look like Summer, it's because I look like me, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a whole thing. And so, but he was like, you should try wearing more color anyway. So I remember there was a show in Tampa and like FCW got invited. So we all went and I wore a blue dress and I fucking hated it. But I wore this blue dress because I wanted to like make Bill happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought like, you know, okay, I look like a diva. I felt good about it at the time though. You know, I was just like, okay, I look like a diva. You know, I look more like Summer Rae. And then we get back to, you know, the center at the time, like the day after or whatever. And he was just like, I just want to give a special shout out to someone that was really trying yesterday. He looks just like a diva. And then he said Summer Rae. And I was just like, like, fuck's sake. Like, I was just like, fuck this. I was
just get like, it, Summer.
Yeah, no, it has nothing to do with Summer.
No, I know. Yeah,
like Summer was like fantastic, right? She did. She looked the part and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was just like, if I was trying and it was just like fucking hitting a wall. You know what I mean? So in the end, I was just like, fuck this guy. Like, I'm not going to keep on trying to impress it, especially when Dusty was telling me the opposite. And I'd rather listen to Dusty Rhodes than a Build Him Off.
Sure,
I mean?
Of course.
So Dusty Rhodes was just like, no, baby, you're mysterious. You know, and he was just like, my raven hair lady, you know, and I was just my porcelain princess. So I was just like, you're right. He was just like, no, fuck them. You do you. And he was like, he was telling me that's what makes me special and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I have that. But I got frustrated with Dusty at one point. I think I told you this story before.
Yeah,
I
called him
motherfucker in the middle of promo class. Because he was just like, I need you to be more mysterious and try and say less, but do more. And I was just like,
And those promo classes are really intense because everyone's watching you and like, you get kind of randomly called. Oh, everyone's staring daggers through you.
Dusty
like,
loved to randomly call me up all the time, dude.
Or like, he randomly called me up once and I was like, what?
You're like, what am I doing here? Yeah, it's fucking brutal and it's intimidating and scary, but it makes you better. It really does.
Sure, sure.
But fuck, I hate him for it.
Being like doing a promo in front of like an audience versus like your peers.
Exactly.
You know you're getting judged
by these motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, I've been in your spot. I know exactly what you're thinking right now, dude.
Yeah.
So like, I remember him being like telling me all this stuff, and I just got so frustrated. And I just like had like kind of a creative blog, and I went up there and I just did this stupid prayer. It was bad. But, like, he doesn't care about embarrassing you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But so he'll just be like, I asked you for chicken dinner. You give me chicken shit like that in front of everybody. And I was just like, fuck you, motherfucker. Like, you know, and I like walk off and I stomp upstairs to, like, the locker room. Then he comes, like, shortly after and he, like, knocks on the door. He's like, it's my porcelain princess in here. And he was like, first of all, nobody calls me a motherfucker. And I was just like, you're right. I'm so sorry, Dusty. It's just like, I'm overwhelmed. And he was just like, you know, he was just like, you just have to give 100% all the time. Uh-huh. It was just like, you have to try every single day. Even if there's two people in the audience, you always give your, you know, 110%. But he's also like, I just want you to be, you know, he knew that I could be a star.
Pushing, yeah.
Yeah, and he was just like really, really pushing it, you know. Mm-hmm. He was just like, I just know you can be something special. He was just like, you just have to trust me and just, you know.
Yeah.
And he was just great. And like,
the best.
Yeah, man,
the
it best. Was such a sad day when he passed away. Oh my God. We were filming for Total Divas. And everyone just started crying. I was like, what happened? They were like, Dusty died. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, devastated.
I remember, I was on a treadmill. I remember being on a treadmill and getting like the text. And I was like, it's when moments like that happen, you can like remember exactly where you were.
Exactly.
Yeah, so horrible. Love Dusty.
I remember Dusty's funeral. I was like, I couldn't bring myself to.
What is that? Is that a pterodactyl?
What in the Nashville fucking creatures is going on out here?
Get out of here, cicadas. Go back to hiding for 7 years.
Jesus. Like fucking Jurassic.
That was scary. I was like, oh my God, where's Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
We're in Jurassic Park. Stay.
With Dusty's funeral, I was like, I don't know wherever I want to go because funerals are hard, right?
Yeah.
Especially in America. In England, everyone's just having a great time at a funeral. It's crazy.
That
to
actually
think
sounds
about.
Like a better way to do it because you should be celebrating the person, right? Rather
like,
than
you
just
like bury them or, you know, do your thing. And then you go have this wake, but it's literally just a huge fucking party and everyone's drinking, have a good time and like celebrating their life. But over here, it's more like mourning. Like it's really sad.
Very sad.
Sad event, right?
Yeah.
So like, I just remember being like, I don't know if I can handle going, especially at that age, you know. And I just, and my dad, I remember him saying to me, he was just like, if you don't go, you'll regret it.
Sure.
And I was just like, you're so right. So I ended up going.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people there.
There was a lot of people.
Yeah. And it was just like hearing Cody talk about him. And,
oh,
it
just gave me goosebumps.
Right?
Ooh, yeah.
Dude, he was like, he just did such a good like eulogy. Dude. I was
my
just
whole
like,
body's covered in goosebumps.
Yeah,
right now,
it was just really fucking beautiful because he brought up like the broken toys thing and Dusty used that before. He was just like, I love my broken toys because he loves like putting them back together and like shining them up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, he's like crazy. What are you doing over there? But it was just like, I'm glad I went. I couldn't stay till like for the after thing though. I was just like, I'll stay for this part and then I'll head home.
Yeah. Dusty. Okay, so you're on the road. You leave home. join WWE. That's like one hardship enough of like being a young kid doing that thing. Then you're like called up to the main roster, win the title, have that monumental moment that we know, winning that title on like your debut with AJ Lee. Pressure is on. Everyone knows you've pretty much been anointed like the next star. What's that like being in that position of being like still?
That's a lot of 21? Pressure too. Yeah, 21. 21. 21. And I just got, I had the NXT Women's Championship at the time.
So first NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah, first ever. With the NXT thing, I wasn't even supposed to be doing the match, right? So I just had this surgery. I had a dermoid cyst removed, right? And I have this big scar across my, you know,
me too,
my gimmick now.
From my baby.
Yeah, mine's not from a baby. Mine's from, a demon child that was attached to my ovary. It had fucking hair and everything. It was the weirdest shit, it too. Did? I'm like, what in the fuck is this alien?
I've seen dermoid cysts. I've heard of this.
So you have them at birth.
Teeth and shit, yeah. Right?
You get them at birth, and I didn't know that. And then it just like grew over time, and it was 10 centimeters by 6. So like I went there because I think I found out I had scoliosis in my back because of Rob the Trainer. I didn't even know I had scoliosis, right? So I went there, and then I had like this whole like full body X-ray, you know, whatever. And then they saw like this mass, and I was just like, what the fuck is that? Yeah. So then I go to like, you know, my gyno or whatever, and they're just like, oh, that's a dermoid cyst. So I had it removed, and then I had to have like a couple of weeks out of the ring. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, the pay-per-view's coming up. And it was the first ever pay-per-view to ever hit the WWE Network.
Yeah.
We were the first women to be shown on there. And I was like, oh fuck, well, I might not be able to do this, you know. And then literally on the day of the pay-per-view, like, Hunter was just like, do you think you're ready to have a match right now? And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. And he was he was like, I need to see you roll around and stuff like that. Like, we have to be safe, you know. And so I was doing my thing, and then the doctor came out, and they were just like, all right, you're good to go. And I was like, whew, thank God. Phew. So I'm like, I get to have this match. And then, you know, getting to be the champ at the same time was fucking insane.
Huge.
So you're just like, big, big moves, right? And then doing the Divas Championship, dude, I was just like, because I already got told the day before. Everyone knows the story about Dwayne telling me.
Yeah.
And then getting to, you know, well, and it was intimidating, especially back then. The locker room was way more intimidating because it was way more, I feel like, cutthroat back then too.
It definitely was.
Yeah. Everyone was super nice to me, of course, but it was just.
There was more generations almost as well, where it was like, there was Vicky and Tamina, and then there's like AJ, Celeste, the twins, obviously.
Rosa, Foxy.
Yeah.
It was just like that generation of like, they've been through shit too. Yes. You know, they probably went through a lot more shit. So they were just like, you know, a little bit more guarded, you know. But they were all still super nice to me, for sure. But it was just, like, intimidating to go up there because I'm this fucking new girl, you know, that they all just did this match prior on WrestleMania where they all couldn't beat AJ. So it was a little unfair that this girl's coming up and just doing it in, like, a couple of minutes. So I totally get it. But it was, like, it was still it was intimidating and scary. And I'm like, trust me, I'm in this position. Like, I'm never going to say no to it.
Yeah,
I'd never be like, no, I don't want this championship.
Not my time yet.
Yeah, So I was just like, I just went with it. And AJ really, like, was really sweet to me.
Yeah.
Like, she wanted to help me out in everything, promos. And, like, I didn't know whether I should go sit in the makeup chair because of, etiquette, you know? And I'm like,
the chaos of the makeup chair. Good God.
Luckily, it's not like that now.
No, it's not like that now.
But the makeup chair back in the day, oh, my God. It'd be like, it depended, like, the hierarchy and who gets to be in the makeup chair first. And that's just, like, down from, like, again, generations of just how it was. Again, not the same now. But, AJ was like, no, sit there. And Jan was the one who was the head makeup artist, too. And I was about to sit in her chair, which... She would make our makeup fucking look like Sally Jesse Raphael, dude. It was like fucking early 90s. I was just like, you girls are like fighting over this thing.
Oh my God, I'm just like peed a little laughing at that.
I'm just like, why is this woman causing so much anarchy, right? So I was just like, all right. And then like she didn't even brush out my curls. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do this, all right, whatever. I'm like, I don't know how to do hair and makeup, so this is the best it's going to get, I guess. So like, I remember getting it done and then just being like, all right. And then I'm nervous because I haven't done this promo. And then Vince wants me to be more timid. And I'm like, that's not the character I was doing in NXT.
Right.
But he told me, I think it was Road Dogg or something like that. He was just like, he wants you to be like that now, but you can slowly change it.
Sure.
Don't worry. You know? Sure. So I was just like, you're right. So, or maybe Fit. It was one of them. But yeah, so we end up figuring it out.
That was crazy. Everyone's crying.
You have to like work straight away, dude. Like as soon as you get backstage, like, all right, you need to go take pictures and you do interviews. You need to do this. You
know? Yeah.
So, and I'm like, all right. And then like I walk back and I just hear Randy being like, you beat her with a leg sweep. I was like, and I was like, yeah, I know. The move kind of like wasn't the perfect, you know, wasn't nailed perfectly. But that's why I kind of stopped using that move.
Mm.
It was because of that
Randy
moment.
Was like, what's up with the leg sweep?
Well, no, because it wasn't taken perfectly. Mm. And like with that, and it wasn't just him who said it. I just remember that because it's the first thing he said when I come back and we were like laughing about it. But people were like tweeting at me about it. Like, did she just beat AJ with a leg sweep? But it's only because, with that move, it has to be both of us figuring it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where like with all the other moves I was doing, I can just do it myself and it's going to look good. Unless I do the rampage and for some reason they just want to roll over. That used to bother me so much. I'm like, how are you over there? Like, you're taking a DDT. Like, it's just, but that was the only thing that used to bother me was like the rollover. But I would just tighten their head a little bit and like,
you're staying
there.
Here.
Yeah,
stay
exactly.
Here.
Yeah. So, that's the reason why I got rid of it. People always ask me why. And I was just like, because I can't execute it perfectly if it's not just me.
It's not the right time.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed the week, enjoyed the best of the sessions. You guys can hear the full-length interviews anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Just download them, give them a listen, give them a like, a review. And if you want to see what you're hearing, head on over to my YouTube page. Just search Renee Paquette. It's all up there, and you can see us talking, having this interview, having a hangout. It's all up on there. And that's been like a really great, cool, growing community. So I'm really enjoying the hangouts on the YouTube as well. So we can see you guys over there. And jump in the comment section, you know. Jump in, chime in, leave a comment. We like filtering through them all, reading about them. Maybe even like, I don't know, some constructive criticism if you had it. We're all ears. God, did I open up a can of worms by saying that? I don't know. Be nice. Be cool in there. This has been The Sessions.